Amen. What deep truth that is, that Lord, we need you. What a joy it is as we get to come together today, as we get to join in worship, as we get to open God's Word. That is always a joy. Our normal practice, our normal diet on Sundays is that we are walking directly through books of Scripture. A couple of weeks ago, we finished the book of 1 Peter, and right now we are in our Advent season, and so it's a little different. Today we'll be in various texts of Scripture. Last week we lit the first candle of Advent, which is the candle of hope. And today we will light the candle of peace and talk about the peace that is to come. Talk about the peace that we have through Jesus the Messiah. Advent means coming. We are looking towards the coming of Christ. And so today we light the peace candle. As we talk about peace, it's not hard for us to think about and to be able to understand the chaos that is around us, right? And sometimes I'm always cautious to think that the chaos that we experience in the world today is unique or new, because we only have to open the Bible and read like any part of it to find that same chaos, right? To find that same brokenness, to find this same need for peace. But we live in today. And so we can look around us, we can see war, we can see division, we can see hatred, we can see just broken, broken people in a broken world. And we can see that, and as we see that chaos, it's not hard for us to grasp hold of the fact that the world needs peace, the fact that it is broken. And the first thing that I want us to understand today is that God is a God of peace. And to look at that, I want us to first kind of backtrack and ask the question, what is God's peace? We see in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, it says, since God is not a God of disorder or confusion, but of peace. That God is a God of peace, not of confusion, not of disorder. One writer puts it this way, talking about what God's peace is. He says, God's peace means that in God's being and in his actions, he is separate from all confusion and disorder. Yet he is continually active in innumerable, well-ordered, fully controlled, simultaneous actions. Get that? It's that in God's peace, in his being, in who God is, and in his actions, he's separate from the chaos. He's separate from disorder. He's separate from evil. He's separate from all of the things that cause a lack of peace to exist. But he is continually active in innumerable, in infinite, well-ordered, fully controlled, simultaneous actions. That he is working in all these ways to bring about peace. And we'll see that in greater detail here in just a moment from God's Word. But that peace is very important throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, we saw that God's peace was we see it as this picture of this completeness or a soundness or well-being of the total person. That a person is made complete, they're well, and they have a peace about them. But it also had this physical meaning. It was a sense of security, of contentment, of prosperity, of the absence of war. We can understand that today. We could say if a nation is at peace, meaning there's not conflict, there's not war. And so they would be understood throughout the Old Testament in many of those ways. There was also this traditional Jewish understanding. The traditional greeting that the Jews would greet each other with was the words shalom. Shalom meaning peace. It is also a wish for peace. If they were to greet each other and say shalom, it's wishing for peace on that person, desiring that. And we see this deep importance of peace right from the beginning, all through Scripture. The inner desire of peace that we have was put in us directly by God in our creation. In Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And this is so important for us to understand, and as we live our daily lives seeking to follow Christ, is to understand that if God is a God of peace, and that we are created according to his likeness, according to the likeness of God, that peace is put within us, that a desire for peace, that to be about peace. In the Beatitudes, we looked this summer, and one of those Beatitudes is that blessed are the peacemakers, that this teaching that we are to be about bringing peace. So God is a God of peace. He created us in his likeness. He created us to be a people of peace. Now we can just pause there for a second and think about, as the church, as followers of Jesus Christ, as those who believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way back into relationship with God. As those who believe that, we believe that God's word is Scripture, and we see from God's word that we are to be a people of peace. And we can think about all of the insanity around us, right? We can think about all of the conflicts and all of these ways. And we can think about how easy it is for us, especially in the world that is so connected and with everything of the internet and social media, and how easy we can make ourselves people of conflict. How easy we can make ourselves people of dissension and people of contempt, instead of people of peace. But right in our creation, God put in us to be people of peace. So today I want us to look at how we attain this. We looked at, it was with our catechism question today, this fact that we have this total inability to keep God's law. And what we're going to see in the Old Testament was that peace was obtained through obeying God's law. And so right away we have this sin problem. Right away the people of God's people, the nation of Israel here, they're seeking to worship, they're seeking to keep the law, but they have this sin problem that has separated them from God. And we look towards Christ. We look towards the coming of the Messiah who will bring peace. In Psalm 119, verse 165, it says, "Abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction. Nothing makes them stumble." Understanding this, they seek to obey his law, and peace comes through that. So abundant peace belongs to those who obey the Lord's instruction. But the necessity of keeping God's law to gain peace, and the reality that we as humans have sinned and cannot keep the law, creates this incompleteness. Remember a moment ago we said this peace, God's peace, it involves a completeness of the person. Well, there's an incompleteness because of sin, because of this brokenness, because of this inability to do what is required. We see this in Genesis 3:15. It says, in this passage here where we've just seen the fall, Adam and Eve have just sinned. They gave into temptation from the serpent, who is Satan. And as God's handing down the consequences for sin, here he's talking to the serpent, which was Satan taking the form of the serpent here. And here's what he says in verse 15. He says, "I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." So there's a few cool things going on here. And we'll get to part of them in just a moment. But first, we have to understand here, it's saying that this hostility between us and the very real spiritual forces of evil, the very real satanic forces in this world, that there's hostility. There's a lack of peace in that. And it is a direct result of sin. It is a direct result of our inability to live up to God's standard. Because of sin, we live in hostility. Live in hostility. But as we talk about Advent and looking at the coming and anticipating this, is that in the very consequences of sin, God shows what's to come. That we see this as he's talking to Satan. He says, he, talking about the offspring of Adam and Eve, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. This is Christ. And this is the first instance of we see of the Messiah being prophesied about. And that he will strike your head. That is a fatal blow. That he will defeat you. You will be put in the ground. But that you will strike his heel. The bite on the heel that Jesus endures, that they thought endured on the cross, that they thought would keep him down, was but a wound. But that he rose again victoriously. That Jesus will have final victory. And right in the middle of this, right in the middle of the consequences for our sin, Jesus is already showing up. And God is right here saying there is hope. There's a reason we call ourselves Hope Valley Church, is because the hope that we have in Jesus is unlike anything else we can encounter in this world. The living hope that we know because of our salvation in Jesus sets us apart. And we see this pointing towards it, that there's hope and that there's a way that peace can be achieved, a way that that makes it possible despite our sinfulness, despite our hostility towards God with our sinful nature that goes directly against him. God is already pointing towards it. He's already making the way. And the way that he does that, as we just saw, we've seen first here that God is a God of peace, and now we see that Jesus is the deliverer of peace. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and peace on earth to people he favors." Jesus being born, in the song of the angel is, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." That is us. He favors us by sending Christ, by Jesus, who has existed for all of eternity as God, who was present in creation. Remember, we looked at Genesis 1 and it said, "Let us make God in our image according to our likeness." And that there's this plural pronoun here. And we can never forget and lose sight of the fact that Jesus was not created in Bethlehem, in a manger, okay? That was not the beginning of Jesus, but that Jesus is part of the Trinity who has existed as God for all of eternity with no beginning. And he left that to come. He was sent from heaven to come to us in that way. And what an incredible gift that is. But that through that, there's peace on earth. Through that, we have reconciliation. And we can think about things we wait for. And waiting is not pleasant. If you're someone who enjoys waiting, I need to have a talk with you, because I've never met that person. I don't know if that person exists who just says, "Man, I love just waiting for something and not knowing how it'll turn out. And it's just my favorite." Okay? And whether it's waiting for Christmas Day and the joy of spending that with a family, whether it's waiting for a news about an upcoming test or a job or whatever it is, it makes us anxious. It makes us uncomfortable, and it's hard, and it tests us, right? And as we think here, we think about a people who have been waiting for a very, very long time. They've been waiting since, for all of their history, they've known that something is broken of their sin, and they're hearing of a Messiah to come, but they don't know when. And for thousands of years, they're waiting, they're anticipating. And we do even worse with waiting now than we did earlier in our life. We do worse with waiting now than we did a year ago, okay? That's how quickly it's changing, right? I mean, now I'm getting used to being able to go on Amazon and order something in the morning that comes that day. And so much so that if I see one that doesn't come till tomorrow, I like look more to find something better. And it's insane, right? And we can be connected to news and to anything happening anywhere in the world in an instant. And waiting, it gets harder and harder with all of these things. It's not going to get easier. But as we see and as we think about their waiting, their desire, their anticipation for the one who would come to bring peace, we see that build up. We see and we know that it comes through Jesus. We know that it's not possible any other way. We know that there's not going to be anything else that can step in, but only Jesus. And I think there's probably some caution we need to have in that, of understanding that there can be a lot of things and a lot of teachings that we can hear all around us that can, oftentimes they can even include Jesus in it. But what they're really, they're also adding in that there's these other ways that we can find peace, other ways that we can find hope, other ways that we can find joy and satisfaction. They're adding in a mixture of works or a mixture of self-help or a mixture of fill in the blank. But it's only through Jesus. It's only through realizing that our sin is our biggest problem and that there is nothing else but the grace of Jesus that will wash away our sin. That our sin is our slave master. That we are a slave to sin. We are dead in our sin. And it is only through the grace of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, that we can be set free. And that brings us to the next point, is that, yeah, God's a God of peace. And Jesus is the deliverer of peace. But this is not something we're on the outside just looking at this story of. But that this is something that is directly available to us. That peace is available to you. I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 5 with me. We're going to read several verses here and kind of bounce around a little bit. But in chapter 5, verse 1 of Romans, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And we see this come up over and over, talking about Christ, is that through Christ we have peace. And here, that since we have been justified by faith, that it is faith, not works, not anything we can do, not any part of our abilities or our deserving, but it is faith alone that we can be justified by. Justified meaning this talking about our justification, is a term meaning that we're brought into this proper legal standing with God, that our sin has caused us a debt, a legal debt, that we have no ability to pay, we have no ability to cover, to serve the time, to pay the punishment, to work off that debt. But that through Jesus, He's made a way that we can be justified, that we can be brought right back into right standing, into righteousness with God, our Creator. And so we're justified by our faith, and that leads to peace with God. And today, this message is, if you're a believer, if you've experienced this, then this is a message of overwhelming gladness and hope. And it is a message that is for us to give great thanks for, but it is also a message for us to be broken over the need of those around us to experience this same gift. To experience, as we know that we are surrounded by people, whether it's in our neighborhood, whether it's at a workplace or a school or fill in the blank, that we are surrounded by people who need to know that by faith alone, in Christ alone, is the only way our sins can be forgiven, but that it is available to anyone who calls on the name of the Lord to be saved. Let's look further down here in verse 6. Some of my favorite verses in all of the Bible right here. It says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from wrath? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? And not only that, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people because all sinned." Let's talk about that last verse for a moment. We'll go backwards a little bit. But just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people because all sinned. Once again, we're confronted with the sin problem. We're confronted with this, that in the garden, that this original first sin spread through all people because of that. That it brought death. That death exists because of sin, because of a lack of peace with God. But verse 8 reminds us and contains these most beautiful words ever written, where it says, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We've talked over and over here about how Christ is the way for us to find peace, the way for us to find peace with God. Now, let's pause for a moment and understand that when we say to find peace through Jesus, let's not ever confuse that with meaning that everything will be perfect and that every conflict and every ordeal that we will face on earth will go away because we have peace with God. No, we still live in the midst of this broken world. We still live in the midst of a place that is broken by sin. And we see this all throughout the New Testament, that we're reading Romans, written by Paul. Paul was a man who was on multiple occasions, tried to be killed, and then eventually they succeeded, right? And he's imprisoned multiple times, all because of preaching the name of Jesus, okay? And so these men are preaching this message of peace, but it doesn't mean that there is no conflict, that there is no pain, that there is no suffering on this earth, but that in the midst of all of that, they can have peace. That in the midst of the waiting, in the midst of the hurt, in the midst of the heartache, we can have peace. And as we talk about sharing the hope of Jesus with the world around us, one of the greatest ways we can communicate that is by being at peace in the midst of the hardships. Is by going through the hurt and the pain, and not pretending it doesn't hurt, not acting like it doesn't exist, but at the same time having a spirit and an inner peace that transcends all understanding, that goes beyond anything that you can find in this world apart from Jesus. And that in that, we're showing why Jesus came. We're showing what he has done. We're showing his goodness. And it is so good. And this Christmas season, the greatest thing that God wants to do is bring peace to those who are broken. And if you're listening, if you're in the room, or if you're listening to this online or at a later time, I want you to hear clearly that if you do not know this peace, if you don't know this salvation through faith in Jesus, that it is available to you. That if you call on the name of Jesus to forgive you of your sins, he is faithful and just to do that. It's available. And that is our greatest hope and prayer for any of you who do not know this hope, do not know this gift, is to receive it with open arms, to receive the new life that comes only through Jesus. For those of you who are believers and following Jesus with your life, first and foremost, rest in the peace of the Lord. We can be so quick to just be bogged down by the demands of our life, by the demands of family and work and everything else and school. And we can just get so bogged down in those things and in the anxiety and stress that causes, that it causes us to be living in disorder and outside of God's peace. Whereas we said it a minute ago, having God's peace doesn't mean all that's going to just be perfect. It doesn't mean there's not going to be busy times and hard times and times where we have to just work really hard on something. But in the midst of that, we're doing that with peace. We're able to do those things and know and have this trust that in the midst of that, even if that turns out very, very different than our desires and very, very different than the way we've been working so hard to attain, we have this peace of knowing that God is sovereign, that God is in control, and that God loves us, that he loved us so much that he sent his only son, and that he has all of this in his hands. A song that we love to sing here is a song called "He Will Hold Me Fast." I just love that he will hold us. That's God's peace. That's what we know. That's what we share with a hurting world around us. And as we respond to God's message today and prepare for the final part of our worship gathering, I just want clearly to hear that and to know that God's peace comes through Christ and is available to anyone who calls on him. And this morning, I invite you to just take a moment before we transition to the next part. I would love to invite you to just take a moment to bow where you're at and just to pray and to just to offer thanks and to dwell on that peace that comes through Jesus. Just pray about that. Maybe there's things on your heart right now that are distracting you from being able to think about and realize that peace. Pray about those things. And maybe you are someone who does not know this peace because you do not know Jesus as Lord. Then I invite you to call on him. I invite you to do that right now. Let's pray together for just a moment. Lord Jesus, Lord, I am amazed and in awe of the fact that you came to earth, that you came here to live, to face temptation, to face pain, to be beaten, to die so that I could have life. so that I could know peace. So that my brothers and sisters in this room and in our community here and around the world could know your peace. But Lord, that is exactly what you did. Lord, right now we thank you for coming. We thank you for your gift of peace, your gift of life, that we did nothing to deserve. Lord, thank you. Lord, help us this week to be focused on you. Lord, we don't know everything this week has, but we know who you are. We know the truths of your word that we find in the Bible, and we know that you're a God of love and that you're a God of peace and that you've restored us into relationship with yourself. And Lord, help us to find our rest in that truth this week. Lord, help us to share that hope with those around us. Lord, for anyone who will hear this who does not know you as their Lord, who has not placed faith in you for the forgiveness of their sins, Lord, I pray that you will convict them of their sin and show them that they are separated from you and that the only way back into relationship with you, the only way to know peace and hope, is through trusting in you for their salvation. Lord, will you draw them to you? Lord, will they trust in you? Lord, we want so desperately, we want to see people all around us coming to know you as their Lord. Lord, we love you. And we praise you. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice that you made on the cross. And in just a moment, as we take part in your Lord's Supper, as we drink a juice representing your blood that was shed, your body that was broken, as we take the bread, Lord, I pray that you will be worshipped, you will be lifted high in that time. Lord, thank you. We love you. It is you alone that we worship, and it's in your powerful, holy name we pray. Amen.